Human rights groups are concerned about possible torture and killings of Darfuri people living in Khartoum in the wake of a weekend attack by rebels close to the Sudanese capital. Human Rights Watch and the British-based Aegis Trust cite eyewitness reports of hundreds of people being rounded up and arrested in connection with the attack on the town of Omdurman, close to the presidential palace. Over 200 people died in the attack by one of the rebel groups fighting government forces in the Darfur region of Western Sudan.
Well, last weekend took people quite by surprise, and we heard that some of what took place was actually very close to the headquarters of our Diocese of Khartoum.
Canon Joanna Udall lives and works in Khartoum as assistant to the Episcopal or Anglican Bishop of Sudan. Founded in the town of Omdurman over 100 years ago, the Episcopal Church in Sudan today includes 24 dioceses, based mainly in the south of the country. I caught up with the Reverend Joanna at the Pontifical Institute for Arabic and Islamic Studies in Rome, where she's based this month, to find out more about the weekend attack and about the long-term prospects for peace in this war-torn country.
Suddenly they were aware of shelling outside and mortars being fired, and they had to lie down low on the floor. And basically then they were confined to their headquarters throughout that rest of that day and over the weekend. So what should have been a celebration of Pentecost Sunday in Khartoum couldn't be. They had to cancel the services because there was curfew imposed. And in fact, the confirmation, which should have gone ahead, couldn't go ahead because people couldn't even get out of their houses.
What do we know about these rebels who are trying to attack the capital? Who are they?
This is the Justice and Equality Movement, which is one of the main rebel groups in Darfur. One of the difficulties in addressing the whole Darfur situation has been the fragmentation of the different groups that are there and the difficulty in bringing them together to find a common position which could be a way towards a solution. So this is one of the groups. It seems that what took place at the weekend was a gesture. It was a very provocative gesture and to try to bring the fighting to Khartoum. But it seems to have been primarily to make a political point. The main theatre of fighting has been in Darfur, and we must not forget that the situation there continues to be very difficult for all the people who are living there, all those who are trying to bring relief, much-needed relief, to those who are living there. I mean, the World Food Programme this year has had a very difficult time, with perhaps some 60 vehicles now having been hijacked this year, and which means they're having to cut their rations of food to half because they just can't reach the people who are in great need. So it's a very serious situation.
It's been 5 years since this conflict exploded, and yet it seems that all attempts at a political solution so far have failed. What is really needed to persuade the government in Khartoum to really tackle this crisis and end the conflict there?
Certainly it needs the Khartoum government's commitment, so all efforts at maintaining that external pressure to find a solution are very helpful. But it also needs some commitment on all sides and a negotiated way through it. And the earlier efforts towards that have not yet borne fruit. So it's crucial that everyone continues to make absolute effort towards this and for the church to continue to pray. It's not a large presence there, but it is still a small and significant presence. And certainly in Sudan as a whole, the church has a very significant part to play and has spoken out often on behalf of the many different people who are suffering in Darfur. And so we have a part to play in the advocacy for a just solution.
Has the church or the churches there been involved also in actually trying to form some kind of reconciliation network, in trying to actually sit down with the various sides to bring them closer together?
At the high political level in Darfur, it's very difficult for the church to be involved because the Darfur population is primarily Muslim. But at the local level, there have been some ways in which the small local church has been able to in some way be a neutral broker amid the local communities. At national level, the church continues to advocate for the peace in the whole of Sudan. Obviously, we've moved a long way forward in southern Sudan with the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, yet still a lot of advocacy is needed to make sure that is implemented properly. There are many different stages of implementation, and some of those haven't gone smoothly yet, but it still remains the most important plank of achieving peace in southern Sudan, and therefore for the whole country. But in order for there to be peace in the south, there needs to be peace in Darfur, and in order for there to be a solution in Darfur, there also needs to be a convincing view that peace is going ahead in the south. So the two are certainly not independent from each other. There needs to be a whole Sudan approach.
The conflict in Sudan seems to have been going on for so many decades now. There was great hope around that agreement for southern Sudan, and yet it seems that it is impossible to bring peace to this great country there. What are the most important things, do you think, in trying to reach this comprehensive peace that you're talking about?
We mustn't forget that a lot has changed in southern Sudan since the peace agreement was signed at the beginning of 2005, and that has to give us hope. There's now a government of southern Sudan established, which is the government for an autonomous south, which is able to determine its own affairs. We're on the way towards a referendum where the people of southern Sudan will exercise the right of self-determination. And these are all really important planks towards achieving a more just future for all the population. There's a lot of history there, and we need to try to find ways to address that. And this is something else in which the church has a particular role to play. Both the Anglican and the Catholic Church, we both have programmes of justice, peace and reconciliation, some of which we cooperate on as well. And this is very much aimed at the local level, trying to work with the local churches, with church leaders, with lay leaders, with local teachers, with local government officials, trying to equip people to play a part in local reconciliation. Because we're not only dealing with the big picture, and that is a very big and difficult picture, but we're also dealing with local fragmentation and a lot of past hurts at the local level. And the church has a huge part to play in trying to heal these, trying to work in building bridges between the different communities, the different tribes, the different backgrounds. During the war, people were in different places, so experienced very difficult, different things. And now there's need to bring people together and to try to find some common ground, and the church is a blessed platform for doing that.
Give me some really concrete examples, if you can, of these methods of reconciliation that you're promoting, perhaps very traditional methods that are quite different from what we would understand here in the West as bringing communities together.
Perhaps one of our sort of greatest strengths has been the church's closeness to the local community. So what we've tried to do is work with those local community structures. I can give you an example. In Bor, in southern Sudan, in Holy Week, we held a peace conference which involved some 15 of the local chiefs from different tribes in the area. And the idea was that, as they already were held in esteem by their communities, if you could bring them together and work with them and the church leaders together in trying to inculcate an understanding of what can be done locally towards reconciliation, then you actually can achieve much more on the ground, because you're working through the existing structures, traditional structures if you like, but these are the structures which are still close to people's hearts and minds. Although we mustn't forget that during the war a lot of these have been disrupted, because the communities have been disrupted, people have been displaced, and so not all those traditional structures are still there, but they are being recovered and they're being brought back together again. And this is all part of a process of healing.
My thanks there to Canon Joanna Udall, assistant to the Episcopal or Anglican Bishop of Sudan.